and now evangelist David Shannon.
We'll be opening your Bibles to Genesis, the 28th chapter. Genesis, the 28th chapter. As you picture God, how do you picture God? Oftentimes, perhaps, if we're not careful, we picture God as the God who came to the bush and in the burning bush, and He spoke to Moses and He said, go. And it was such a tremendous task. And we say, now that's the God that expects so much of us. I don't know if I can ever deliver a satisfactory life to a God such as that. Or perhaps sometime we picture the God as the example of where He came to Miriam and to Aaron in Numbers, the 12th chapter. And because they had spoken evil against Moses because he had married a woman of a different nationality. And they spoke against him, and God came down in a cloud and He rebuked them sharply for speaking against Moses in such a way, and then even gave leprosy to them or to her. And sometimes we think, well, that's the way we picture God. A God that any time we have any interaction with this God is whenever He's coming down to rebuke us. Or perhaps we picture God as the God that came down to Saul when he was out persecuting Christians, and he came through a bright and shining light and he spoke through this light and his voice said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And then we see that Saul changed his life and we say, that's the way I see God. I see God as one who reaches down and in some sense he shakes me and says, you better do right, young man. How do you see God? Although the God we serve did all of the things we mentioned, to see God only in those ways and those alone is a warped image of God. Yes, God does rebuke us through His Word. Yes, God does challenge us through His Word. And yes, God does call us to live a greater life than the world lives through His Word. But brethren, let us also realize this morning that God is a Father who cares for us. A Father who has the greatest concern, compassion, and care for us than anyone we know. Now let that sink in for just a moment. That's right, I said anyone we know. Most of you, I'm sure, had a very good and loving mother. There's just something about mothers that are so loving and so caring and have so much concern and compassion. And even to this day, when I have something on my mind, I want to talk about it to my wife, and then the second person I want to talk about it to is my mother. I want to pick up the phone. If I haven't spoken to her all week long, I still want to call her because Mama cares. If it seems like that no one else in the world cares, we have someone in our mind that we say, they always care. They have compassion upon me. When no one else understands, they seem to understand. And this morning, I hope we all walk out of this auditorium with one belief. God cares. He cares more than anyone you know. He understands. He understands better than anyone you know. And He loves you. He wants you to have the best and most fulfilling life upon this earth that you could ever have, more than anyone else. This morning, let us think about for just a moment our setting, and then we'll read our text in Genesis 28. Jacob has went and he has taken the blessing away from Esau, or at least Esau said he took it away from him. And Esau said, I hate him, and the intentions of his heart were, I will slay him. So now he has a brother that hates him and a brother that wants to murder him. His mother that loves him very dear and is a favorite to him devises another scheme, another plan, and she goes before her husband and she says, I just can't stand it if he marries one of these Canaanite women, so let's send him off and let's make sure that he does not marry one of these, but send him to find a woman from our homeland. And so Isaac says, Rebecca, that's a good idea. And so he's sent on a journey. And as we're about to read in this journey, we know just from what scholars have said the distance is that he's probably been traveling 2 or 3 days. Now think about this. He's a man that at this point he's homeless. He's a fugitive in a sense because he can't go home because his life is in danger, and he's traveling on a long journey, and any of us that ever travel, we know that traveling can be difficult. It makes us tired. As we've left loved ones behind, we know that lonely feeling. He loved his mother so dearly. She's not with him. She's behind. He left a father behind that was dying. As most of the time the patriarchs would bless their children while they were lying on their deathbed, he left a very sick father behind. Now, where is he? He's homeless. He's tired. He's probably frightened, wondering if his brother is following him. Probably just wishing. Wishing that someone understood. Someone could feel his pain. And let's look together to Genesis, the 28th chapter, and let's see what happens when he decides to stop as the sun goes down and to sleep. And Genesis 28 and verse 10, and Jacob went from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place, and he tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, now please get this dream in your mind. We'll refer to it several times. Behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to the heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again to this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee. Brethren, what a beautiful thought to know that we serve a God who cares. Here's a young man that's tired, and here's a young man that no doubt must have been afraid. He had the insecurities, and here's a young man that is journeying. He's homeless at this point. And what does the Lord say to him? The Lord says, young man, look to the west, look to the east, look to the north, look to the south. You're not homeless. I'm going to give you this land. And don't worry about your life because, young man, Jacob, I'm going to protect you. I'm with you. Brethren, what a wonderful thought. That at a time where Jacob was just a little insecure, perhaps just a little afraid, and God comes down to tell him just a few simple messages. I care. I'm with you. It's a wonderful thought as we look through the Bible. For example, the life of Daniel. God cared for Daniel even at a young age when he was taken into slavery. Daniel stood up for God. God continued to care for him. At Daniel's old age, he refused to stop his praying. And Daniel was sent to the lion's den. And did God desert him? No, God even knew that heartache and that challenge. And God stood with him. Brethren, when we look, if you will, to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, we see a man in his older years when he understood a God that cared perhaps as much as any of us today can understand about a God who cares. Picture in your mind, if you will, a man named Paul. And by this time, he's traveled all over that region of the country and he has established congregation after congregation and he has converted Christian after Christian. And now, he sits there in that jail cell. He's at the end of his life. And if you could just see his body, you could see marks all over his body from the persecution that he had endured. And what do we read about? Were his last days easy? No, not at all. As a matter of fact, in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, in verse 14, he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Brethren, I shudder to think what he must have done to him if Paul would say, the man who had been through shipwrecks and stonings and beatings and beatings with whips and rods, if a man had been through all that and then he could say, he mistreated me with much evil, it truly must have been horrible. And then, at a time when this older man needed someone to stand with him. After all, he'd had many people that he'd stood up for. But notice what happens in verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me, and I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Paul, what did you do? He gives the answer in verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every work. So brethren, at a time when no one else would stand, at a time where Paul surely could have cried out, does anyone care? He says, yes, there was one who cared. It was the Lord. He stood with him. He strengthened him. And he delivered him through this hardship that he must endure. Brethren, let me realize that I don't have a God in heaven that just looks down and he casually sits on his throne and he occasionally looks over the heavens and into the earth just to see how I'm doing. And if I'm not doing so well, he gives a yawn and says, "Oh, that's so bad." Brethren, I have a God that's more compared to what you and I do whenever we have a loved one that's so very sick. I'm not talking about a loved one that's kind of sick, and we might say, "Well, I'm just going to sit with them a while." I'm talking about a loved one that's so sick, we stand beside their bed, and we hold their hand, and we stand by them for every need that they could want. And if someone says, "Where have you been?" Your answer is, "I've been standing over so-and-so caring for them." Jacob, he was worried. He was lonely. He was scared. And in his dream, he saw the earth, he saw a ladder, and where was God? God was standing at the top of the ladder, looking down over it all. Paul was an elderly man. He had been through so much persecution. He was in prison alone. And where was God? He says he stood with him. Now, if you will, look back with me to Acts, the 7th chapter. And in Acts, the 7th chapter, we have where Stephen stands before the council and he gives his defense. The problem is the council does not like the honesty and the straightforwardness in which Stephen speaks. And so they began to gnash their teeth at him in verse 54. And in verse 55 it says, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.'" And then they began to cast their stones. And brethren, if you want to paint an ugly picture in your mind, I'm sure most of us have probably thrown a stone sometime at a dog, perhaps to get him away from us if we thought he was going to attack us, or perhaps to get him out of our yard. You know how a few rocks can run off most any dog. Brethren, how horrible it is to think of stones launched at a person as they lay there till the last one beats their breath out of their body. Here, Stephen, at a time when he needed the strength to endure such persecution because he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, he received a form of encouragement. And what was that form of encouragement? The heavens opened and he saw. He saw Jesus standing, looking down upon him. We go over into Acts 23. In a time when the Pharisees and the Sadducees were arguing and they literally wanted to rip Paul asunder. They wanted to tear his life out of him. And finally, the authorities arrested him just to protect him. And that night, as he stood alone in jail from all the other humans, he did not stand alone because it says there that Jesus stood by him. Brethren, it's a wonderful thought that Jesus stands by us. I challenge you to believe that at your times when your heart is grieving so horribly, that Jesus, he's not just casually there in heaven, and God our Father is not just casually looking over. But at the times when you and I are hurting the most, they're hurting also. They're standing looking upon us, longing to comfort and to help us in any way. At the times when the temptation seems so hard, and it seems that everyone is against us, and that all the world wants us to do is to fall into sin and to enter into damnation, and that's what the world wants. And we believe that no one cares. God cares. Look, if you will, to Hebrews. In Hebrews, the 1st chapter, we have another verse that helps us to realize the tremendous care that God has placed upon our lives here upon this earth and even our eternal lives that is to come. In Hebrews, the 1st chapter, in verse 14, we'll read in just a moment, but in verse 13, he talks about angels. And in verse 14, he says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" So here another image is painted of how much God cares for us. God cares for us so much that there are heavenly creatures created just to minister over our needs. And someone says, David, elaborate upon that. I can't elaborate upon it with a great amount of detail because the Bible doesn't elaborate upon it with a great amount of detail. But we can say a few things. But please, don't lose the point because you're not satisfied with the details. Please get the principle that's laid out here. God cares for us. As there are needs that we have, God has made sure that those needs can be met. Why? Because He cares. When we read in Matthew the 18th chapter, we see a little bit more about these angels. And Matthew the 18th chapter is a very beautiful passage about children and how we are to love children and we're not to despise them, we're not to offend them, but we are to receive them in just as Jesus received them. And when we do so, we receive Jesus. Now, notice what he says in verse 10. He says, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Brethren, you want to soften your heart towards God? Picture a God that loves you so much that as a child there were angels that looked over you. Your angels that looked over you from heaven. Picture a God that loves your children and your grandchildren so much that there's angels that look over. Picture also a God that loves you so much that He says in Luke the 16th chapter that when the righteous die, the beggar was the righteous one in this story, that he was escorted by angels into the bosom of Abraham. Brethren, life is not a lonely, don't care, hectic life as a Christian. Life as a Christian is to know that there's someone who cares for me more than anyone has ever been cared for. That I have a Father who loves me and not only is providing for me in this earth, but He is even providing the care, preparing angels so that when I pass from this earth into eternity, if I've lived righteously, they're there welcoming. And I'm not a stranger to them because they've known me ever since I were a baby. And they are offering the care and the compassion that we all long to always receive. Think with me also, if you will, of the care that Jesus made sure that His apostles knew about. You see, they also suffered from worry. They suffered from anxiety because Jesus continued to tell them, but yet they couldn't understand it. And He continued to say, "I'm going to leave you." And finally, they felt as if He didn't care. And He said, no. I'm going to leave you with a Comforter. And that's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit guided them and directed them in that time in a miraculous way. But now we're given words that were inspired by God. And now we use these same words to comfort us today. When Paul wrote about the second coming, he used that as a way to encourage us as we think about death and the death of saints. And he said, "Comfort one another with these words." And as we think about times of weakness and at times when we think we can't succeed, he said, "Through Christ, we can." Brethren, all through this book is words of encouragement and words of comfort. But please, let me realize as I think about a God who cares, let me also realize the fact that as God looked down upon that ladder in Jacob's dream, that He looked down seeing all. You see, now sometimes we take that point and we say, there it is. There's that God that He's just looking down with a pointed finger and He's just waiting to see my sin. And whenever I sin, He's going to say, "Yes, I caught you." Yes, God does see evil. God does see sin. But brethren, we have such a warped view of God if we think that's why He's seeing all. That same God that sees evil is the same God that looks down and when you have just a little tear gathering in the corner of your eye, He knows it before you do. That same God that whenever you have a heartache coming today, He knew yesterday that you were going to have it. And He wants to help you. Brethren, that same God that sees all is the same God that sees all of your being. And He knows your innermost pain and your innermost challenges. And it's reassuring to know that the God who cares for me so much knows so much about me. But now please notice this. We wouldn't be doing justice to this study of Jacob's dream if we were not to take what Jesus tied into this dream and taught a very powerful lesson. Now let's make sure we all have this dream in our mind. It's very simple. There was the earth. And Jacob dreamed that while he was on the earth, he saw something connecting the earth and the heavens. And that was simply a ladder. And upon that ladder were angels ascending and descending from heaven. And as he looked up to the top of that ladder, he could see God Almighty looking down upon all. Now turn with me, if you will, to John, the first chapter. In John, the first chapter, as Jesus is converting several of his disciples, he's speaking to Nathanael. And he has convinced Nathanael that he is the Son of God. But he's telling him that there's even more that he needs to be convinced about. And so the very last verse of John, the first chapter, he surely is speaking in reference to a clear interpretation of Jacob's dream. Although he never refers to the dream itself, the setting is almost identical. Notice what he says in verse 51. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heavens open, just like the dream, and the angels of God ascending and descending, just like the dream, upon the Son of Man. Now, wait a minute, Jesus. Did you make a mistake there? The dream was the heavens open and the angels ascending and descending on the ladder. And Jesus came to this earth to teach a very loud and clear message. I am the ladder to heaven. I'm the only way that you can reach that Father that's looking down. If you want to reach that Father that's looking down, Jesus would say it like this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As we go back and we look in 1 Timothy, the second chapter. In 1 Timothy, the second chapter, notice what he says in verse 4 and 5. Who will have all men to be saved, speaking of Jesus, and to come into the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So here Paul makes this dream even more clear as he says, there's one God and there's one human race. And there's only one mediator between the two. And it's Jesus Christ. Brethren, I want to close this morning with a story that would be very similar to the prodigal son. You know the story, except I want to change it perhaps to make a point. The son goes and he takes his inheritance and he lives in a very sinful way. And finally, when all of his money is gone, then his friends leave him. And then he goes out, and the only job he can find is feeding pigs. And as he feeds the pigs, he just wishes that he could eat their food. And then finally, he comes to his senses and he says, My father's servants had it better than this. And he thinks to himself, I think I'll go home. I've made my mistakes. I was wrong in the type of life that I've chosen. I want to go back to my father. And as the son walks down the road, he sees the farm in sight. And everything is going about its normal business. As a matter of fact, everything is fine at the home front. Everything is prospering as much as it ever has been. And he walks up, the servants don't hardly even acknowledge that he's there. And he used to be the son of the owner. And then as he asks, where is daddy? They say, he's on the backside somewhere fencing. And so he begins to walk through the farm. And there as he walks up, his father turns and he sees him. And then his father turns and keeps driving the steeples into the fence post. The son says, Father, I made some mistakes. And the father says, Yeah, boy, you did. And he keeps working. Father, I've lost everything. And the father says, Yeah, boy, you're foolish. And he keeps working. Father, I was wondering, spit it out, boy. I was wondering if you would just let me come back and maybe be one of your lower servants just so I could eat. Boy, I told you once, you ever leave this farm, you're never coming back. Now you know the way out. Brethren, when we say to ourselves, God will never forgive me. That's the story we've just painted. God will forgive. Because God cares more than anyone you've ever known. God is not on the backside of heaven, busy. Too busy to know or too busy to care. God is standing on the forefronts of heaven. And God is looking back. And if you're lost this morning, I assure you that God and the angels in heaven are standing on the edge. And they're saying, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. This morning, have you given your life to Jesus in service? Have you repented of sins and confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and been baptized for the remission of those sins to live and to serve Him? If not, please believe that there's a God that cares for you. He wants you to come. Maybe you've been baptized, but somewhere you've strayed. We all make mistakes. The wonderful thought this morning is, we serve a God that's saying to all of us when we make mistakes, welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter. I was hoping you'd pass this way. If we can help you in any way, come as we stand, as we sing.